Hey, my friends, we all have a will or a power and an investment in the decisions that we make in life. We have a way that we desire to do things. I don't think we will for ill on anyone, or especially ourselves. And we naturally... We actually get mad at people and get offended, and we want them to know it. And sometimes playing the bigger person is not what you want to do. You want them to know that you've been hurt, that you've been mistreated, and you want to get back at them. That's a natural force or natural reality in all of us. And sometimes it's not a matter of maturity that helps us to get over it. It's choice. Because sometimes we respond and then we think about it and then time passes. And then we try in our different ways to bring peace to our lives. And sometimes it's not a matter of if God stepped in. It's a matter of how we adhere to what he says and his way of doing things. But as it relates to a will, we all have a way that we want to do something. And it's funny because the ways that could help us to achieve something quickly or without cost or convenience, and situations that will allow us to move forward while also honoring our conveniences and time and pride and ego and ambition, are mainly the way that we want to go. And usually the more excellent way. It's not a matter of if it's God, but if it's the higher way calls for us to do it this way. Now, we could either choose to adhere to the higher way or not. And sometimes when the higher will steps in, it requires us to go this route, communicate this way, pay this way, honor it this way. And rightfully so. And sometimes we resist the right way. We resist ways that will take us out of our time limit, take us out of our convenience, take us out of our ambition. And sometimes we resist those things. We don't look at it as we are resisting God or resisting something good. We are resisting discomfort to the comforts we already have. And because of that, we set patterns, whether we intentionally know it or not. We're setting patterns of poverty, patterns of double-mindedness, and patterns of fear, patterns of disrespect. Because our strength level and our activity level is a direct reflection of how we perceive ourselves. I recently taught a class about this, and I said our consistency or the way we react or respond is based on how legitimate we feel that we are to ourselves. Because it's easy to do good work for other people because they're going to applaud our effort. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking, like if we're looking to bring a wow factor to someone, I'm looking to make them cry. I want to watch how surprised they be when I do this. They don't expect this. I'm going for the surprise. And so you put an effort in going for the type of response you want to experience that person having. And so you put all your efforts in there. And before you know it, you make other people the object of your affection because you're going for something. But you notice that same effort that you need to put in for yourself, you won't do it because there is no way that you can surprise you. You already perceive yourself as something. And so therefore, when you seek to put attention to your own life and do things yourself for you, you can't do it, because your life has already given you a picture of how legitimate or illegitimate you are to yourself. Your life has already seen your will, and it's empowering you to move away from you. Yeah, it's really not complicated things like, do I do what God say do or not? It's how we feel about what we're doing that determines how we do and how much we do. It's how we perceive God to be. Because whatever you believe, you're experiencing right now. It's not a matter that you believe God to be somewhere in the sky and all of this. Whatever we believe, we are living in and experiencing it right now. Whatever we believe. If you're broke, if you're in poverty, if bills are behind, that's your belief. Because you believe if you would have honored your convenience and your ambition and your pride, you would get the feeling you want at the time. The bills needed to be paid, but you decided, well, that's your belief. If you're well off right now, if you're managing your finances and managing your bills, well, that's your belief. You believe if you pay your bills. Every one of us are experiencing our beliefs right now. And somewhere in the midst of this experience, there is a belief in God somewhere hidden in there. But I'm here to tell you, if God is truly believed in, he wouldn't be hiding somewhere invisible. It would be somewhere showing in your will. It would be in how you handle things. It would show itself in your will. It would show itself in your lack of resistance of his presence in that decision. Because he's going to have a presence in whatever decision you make. He's going to have an advice or some wisdom in every decision you're making. Because whatever you believe, you are living in right now. Because your life today, even right now, is revealing your belief. It's not just revealing this hidden knowledge you trust. No. It's manifesting what you fully believe and embrace. Yeah, not just the hypothesis that you find agreeable. Your relationships are what you believe. If you're in a relationship or not, that's your belief. How you respond to yourself is based on what you believe about yourself. You can do great things for everyone else, but can't do it for you. It's because you don't believe you're worth it enough to do it for you. And whenever you try to pay attention to you, you don't have enough strength. You get tired, or you start daydreaming, or you give up. Because your life hasn't given you reason to believe in you, or like you, or to feel that you are a celebrator of yourself. It's not, and no one taught you that, no. No one taught you that. No one taught you that. No one in the pulpit taught you that. Because every time we say we were taught, we blame ministry and religion and churches and everything for how we act. No, you taught you how you are. Because you don't go to sleep in the church. You sleep at home with your family or your grandmother or your aunt or your mom and them. You don't sleep at church. Even though you went all the time, your belief didn't happen at church. It happened on the playground. It happened when you were overweight or underweight or buck teeth. I had buck tooth or snaggle tooth. It happened at school when you compared yourself with a slim girl and you were fat, or you were fat and you were slim and someone was fine. No, it didn't happen at church. It happened on the playground. It happened at the family reunion. It happened at the store. It happened when you thought you had a best friend and you find out your best friend was not your best friend. No, you didn't. You were not taught this at church. You thought church would be an end-all, be-all. You thought it would be heaven on earth and that no one does anything bad at church. No, no, no. You had an expectation. And that wasn't the way it was, and that's not the way it is. That's not how it is. Your will was formed by you. It's not you were taught it at church. They didn't do that to you. It was taught at home. It was taught with your brothers and sisters. You wanted to be the better sister or the better brother. It was taught by you. You were competing with people. Some of you still are competing for the attention of other people. And it's funny that your life and your will is not responding to your excellence. But you can work for someone and you can do things for other people who ask. And you can say, if you need my help, I'm here. But your own life is saying to you, I need your help. Are you there for you? Are you available for your own life? I talk a lot about this in my book, How to Love Yourself Back to Power. I hope you didn't miss it while reading it. Does your life tell you, I need you? Can you be here for me? Because it's easy to be there for someone, but your life is screaming to you and screaming at you, be here for me. And why are you finding other things to do? Because you don't believe you enough to be there for your life. It's not that you don't know what to do. You just don't feel you're important enough to respond to you. You have made yourself, you have not made yourself the object of your energy. Because your focus is on where you want to receive energy from or acclaim. And now that it's time to give time to you, you treat yourself as a consolation prize. You're only dealing with you because your preferences rejected you. And those whom you want to receive you did not receive you. So you gave yourself to you as a prize, as a consolation. And when your own life knows that you're a consolation, it don't want to listen to you. It don't want to be the rebound. Your life don't want to be your own rebound. Your life wants to be your intention. And once you treat your life as your own intention, it will give you the strength you need. But as long as you are not the focus of your life, strength won't come to your life. As long as you're not, there won't be any strength coming to you. No power at all. So where is God in all of that?